Hello, and welcome to the God Spot. We are glad you decided to join our community, a community of no judgment and or condemnation. Our prayer is that while listening to our episodes, you will feel the love, peace, joy, and encouragement poured out by God. So sit back and enjoy. Good evening, Godspot. It's me, Allie.
And her wonderful husband, Will.
You guys, he said that, right? Jeez. He is on one tonight. I know we're coming to
what,
you.
What, I'm not wonderful? No, I'm just kidding. Just yeah. Go on. That's a whole nother subject, yes.
Wow. Okay. I know we have been on delay, but we've had a lot. It's not really chaotic, semi-chaotic, but enough to kind of take us away for a minute. So, yeah. Like, we had a dog that went into full distress.
That put you in distress and us in distress with no sleep.
We were in distress, yeah.
That should be a topic one of these days. How much, did you love your dogs versus people and Christian and all that stuff like that?
You'd be surprised. People probably love their pets a lot more than they do some of the people around them.
Yep.
And you know what? After experiencing what we experienced with her, I can understand why. Jeez. So just for those that don't know, Maggie, our 10-month-old Rottie, she decided she wanted to have some type of snack out in the yard. We don't know what it was. And so all of 12 o'clock midnight on Tuesday, so it would have been Tuesday already.
Yeah,
so 12 a.m., she starts throwing up and she's got all the from front end and back end. So we, you know, like humans, yes. We food poisoning. So we don't know, but it just progressively just turned worse. She stopped eating. She stopped drinking. It was just really bad. And so then it looked as if, by the time we got her to the vet, we had to wait until the morning. So by the time we got her to the vet, just based off of the external things that were coming out, they said, oh yeah, it's parvo. It's got to be parvo. So we're like, oh no. So of course, you know, with pets, when dogs catch parvo, it's never a good thing. No. And so we're like, all right. So they tested her and they said, okay, well, the test came back negative. So that's a good thing. We're like, oh, okay. But she still had a little spirit about her. She was still, you know, wagging and kind of nosy, but not her full self, but enough. And that's kind of what threw the doctor off. Cause he's like, well, wait a minute. If she's got parvo, she shouldn't have this much energy.
She still had energy.
And so we're like, okay. So he said, but it, you know, just because it tested negative now, it can turn real, you know, it can turn real quick, like real quick. We're like, oh great. You're not helping the matter any. So anyway, so needless to say, they kept her. He said he just wanted to put an IV in her, hydrate her, give her some medication. And it basically was something, it more than likely was something that she ate. And with dogs, their intestinal tracts really, despite what many humans say, are not like ours. They're very sensitive and they can
hers is definitely very sensitive.
Yeah. So. And hers is on the extreme side. So, so they kept her overnight, hydrated her. Sent her home with medications and she's back to normal. And now I need to put her back in her dog run because she's driving everybody crazy.
24 hours later, no sleep, 36 hours. We was like,
it was bad. Yeah, we didn't have a choice. It's not like you can lay your baby down and they go to sleep and then they wake up. No, she was not sleeping. Poor, I felt really bad for her. I felt so bad. That it was like,
She wanted to go to sleep.
Couldn't go to sleep. Her body wouldn't let her. Yeah, it was bad. I was like, oh my gosh, this poor thing. So she's good now. She's back to normal. We cleaned up her doggy run. So there's nothing out there. But what does she do today? She comes in my office here and she finds something and she's just a chomping away. And I had to stick my hand, and that's what I've resulted to, sticking my hand in her throat and pulling it out, whatever it is. Because you are not about to send us back to that place. No, oh my gosh.
Because we don't have doggy insurance. I don't know if we're going to get it either.
It was so bad. I'm like, oh my gosh. So that was an adventure.
Yes.
It was definitely. We survived it. She survived. And it's all good.
Yes, all good.
It is all good.
So let's get on to what we are talking about.
Oh, he's, you know what, guys, he's excited. He's been wanting to do, he's excited for this one. So
he's been wanting to do it for a while and just didn't, yeah, just, and all the things to interrupt us, but we're ready.
All right. So what are we are going to be talking tonight about athletes.
Athletes and Christianity, or being a Christian and being involved with in violent sports.
He said violent sports.
Well, because they call violent sports like...
what's a violent sport?
Boxing, football. Oh, they call it boxing, football, even soccer, hockey.
Don't say that because yes. Jaden is in soccer. Don't say that's violent. But they call it violent.
Yeah, they call those things like violent sports. They like their cheerleading.
That can be violent. You get the wrong... That, no, hold up now.
We raised a cheerleader.
We raised a cheerleader. That one can be kind of... Yeah. Don't make your base people mad before you go to competition. And I'm just saying.
But yeah, I wanted to actually talk about being a Christian in sports.
Oh, okay. Because, so let's do it. Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I've been wanting to talk about this for a while, and then the other night we happened to have some friends over, and they whatever they did, they streamed the thing boxing to our TV
with Garcia.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when I heard the music, I said, he's getting ready to come out in a Christian song. Mm-hmm. And then later on, you know, he lost the fight. But that's another thing, another subject. God can't, you know, take sides when it comes to sports. Like, we pray, say, God, give us victory. Let our team win. That's probably a whole different subject.
That is a whole different subject. So what happened with the fight?
But in the fight, you know, and he lost the fight. And and then you were seeing online all this crazy stuff about
yeah.
it. Well, he was too soft, came out to a Christian song. And,
yeah.
And one of the things, some people were digging.
Yeah.
So one of the things about it, in a violent sport, it, just because you're Christian, doesn't make you soft.
I wouldn't think that has anything to do. You're transformed, correct, by your mind.
Yeah,
but your physical, mind. But your physical body doesn't. It doesn't change.
No, it doesn't change. You still see, and so you might want to go. We want to look at the Bible. What the scriptures say about sports and about violence and stuff like that. And I'm only going to pick out one scripture, but there's a lot of scriptures in there that talk about playing games and stuff like that. But the scripture I want to bring forth right now is 2 Samuel. That is 2 Samuel 2, verses 14 and verse 16. And so verse 14 goes like this. 2 Samuel 2, verse 14. And Abner said to Joab, let the young men arise and compete before us. And Joab said, let them arise. They were competing. Now, the kind of competing they were doing was a battle game, a serious battle game. Now, and I'm going to tell you how serious it is when I jump down to verse 16, because this is what this battle game was. So they were saying competing. So they were sending people out. They said, let the young men arise and compete before us.
Okay.
So you had these kings on both sides and they said, let them compete. Let them go at it.
So is that equivalent? Is that where the Colosseum games and
Romans came later. And so some of that could have came from those times too.
Okay.
Because of course the Romans came later, because this is Old Testament.
Right.
So,
okay.
So yeah, the Romans came later. So they were playing a literal battle game.
Okay.
And let me jump down to verse 16. And then it says this in verse 16, and this is the ESV version. It says, and each caught his opponent by the head and thrust his sword in his opponent's side. So they fell down together. Therefore, the place was called Helkath Hazarim, which is at Gibeon. So they were literally going at it. You ever been to, yeah, we've been to like medieval times where they would fight with the horses and they're coming. Yeah, they got
thank
that.
Thank goodness that's not a real thing.
But that was a real thing back in those days.
Back in the day it was.
Yeah, back in those medieval times. So it's like they were going at it with swords and they would just go at it with swords. They would thrust the sword inside and I guess the one who survived would win.
Right, right.
But it was a violent sport.
Right.
It was competing. So
let me ask you then. So for that back, okay. So during that time, then what were they competing for?
They were competing. It was like war games. They were competing to see who was going to win. And if you read down farther in the verses, it says that I believe it says that Joab, or I don't get to that verse, but it says that they ran like gazelles because mm-hmm. they were losing the battle. They were losing the competition. Mm-hmm. And so their men fell. And so they ran like gazelles and they chased after them and
getting
the whole battle. But that's how the battle started. It was not just everybody went down and fighting. No, they mm-hmm. sent the young ones and they went down to compete with each other and fight with each other in sort of like a game. Mm-hmm. And then whoever wins.
Right.
And when they felt that they were losing all their men, they decided, okay, run. And then it became a war type thing. But there are battles or games in the Bible in which they were violent.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds violent if you're sticking a sword in somebody else.
Yes.
That's pretty violent.
Yes. And it's great to play games. I mean, Christians weren't born. Boring, I mean.
Boring.
Yeah, not boring.
Yes, they're born.
They weren't boring. Because I even share this scripture back in Zechariah. In Zechariah 8:4-5, in the ESV version, in Zechariah 4-5, or actually Zechariah 8:3-5, it says this: "Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the Faith City and the Mountain of the Lord of Hosts, the Holy Mountain. Thus says the Lord of Hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets." So there's games mm-hmm. in the Bible. So there's good games. There's violent games.
Right, right.
There's competition
that's
in the Bible. And it's okay to be competitive and be a Christian. But people look at it as, how can you be a Christian? You're supposed to be soft. See, that's what people think. Once somebody told us that just because you're Christian doesn't mean you have to be soft.
Right.
Because we still have to protect.
So do they mean, so could it be that it's not, they're not necessarily saying soft in physicality, but soft as far as
loving
and the temperament and
yes.
that kind of thing? That's a difference.
Well, when people look at Christians nowadays, they think they're so, yes, we are forgiving. We have to be forgiving because, you know, Christ says we forgive. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Christ turned over tables. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have to put forth what God puts in you and put it forth and say, no, this is the way it should be.
So do you think then, so I know for a fact, I know Dar Hamlin, is that his first name, Dar?
Oh, the one that the football player that
Hamlin
passed out.
Yeah, I don't know if he was always so vocal about his Christianity, but it wasn't until after that incident, then all of a sudden now it came out that it's like, oh, you know, he's a believer, blah, blah, blah. Tim Tebow is very outspoken.
He's always been outspoken
about his Christianity.
Because his parents were missionaries.
And now, so how does he carry himself? How does he carry himself?
Tim Tebow is very, very competitive mm-hmm. in anything he does.
Okay.
And even as a child growing up, he has stories where he's very competitive mm-hmm. and always wants to be number one. At the same time, he still is a believer in Christ mm-hmm. and still walks with Christ and believes that he still has compassion.
Right.
So just because you're competitive, God gives us a competitive spirit mm-hmm. because we compete. He says we compete.
Right.
And because he gives that to us, he allows us to compete.
Right.
Now, the question is how does a Christian carry himself when they are in a violent sport? Like myself, I mean, I played football, coach football now. I'm not a person that cusses. Right. So how do I carry myself?
Yeah, how do you go? I know how you carry yourself because yeah. I've seen it. How do you carry yourself, Will?
I can get very.
And I'm not being sarcastic yeah. with that. I've seen it.
I even coaching and even when playing, you've only came to two of my games. I guess yeah, one of the games I did get in the fight. I remember.
I'm not talking about playing. I'm talking about on the coaching side. On the coaching side.
On the coaching side, I can be very competitive. I don't cuss.
Right.
But it comes across where I need to get my point. You need to get your point across because mm-hmm. you want to win.
Right.
I mean, that's a competitive spirit. And and if God put has that in us, it's sometimes in our flesh too.
Right.
But I believe God was competitive too. God says he has enemies and he doesn't want his enemies to win.
Right.
So we have that competitive spirit in us. And when we do, we just have to, it depends on how you let it come out.
Right.
What is the name again? Hamlin? I can't remember.
Hamlin.
Yeah. When he got hurt, I don't know how he was before he got hurt
Yeah.
You know, I just know what I've seen afterwards, and he does mm-hmm. talk a lot about Christ and things like that. But I don't know, going to the next season, people are gonna say, is he still gonna be a soft player? mm. Because you're literally going, when you're going out to play football, especially on a defensive side, and that he was a defensive player, you're coming out to hit you.
Right.
I'm coming out to hit you, and I'm not gonna hit you softly.
And the thing about it is, I think too, because we also have to remember that even that as believers in the athletic field, this is still their job. So this is something that they do to make a living. So
not to mention that it's their job. And some people, I can go back to like Lawrence Taylor and how he was brought up to just mangle people. That's mm-hmm. all you told, just go in there and destroy somebody. That's it. Mm-hmm. I see that court, I'm going to get you.
Right.
And it's not just being competitive in that way, but it's also what happens afterwards.
Right.
You know, I'm on the field, off the field, I was the nicest, caring guy.
Mm-hmm.
Put me on the foot. As soon as I step on the field, it's like I become a whole different person.
Right.
But after the competitive part is over, that's where we call it being a good sport. Mm. You lose.
Right.
If you win, you win. But win being a good sport.
Right.
You don't have to shove it down somebody's throat.
Right.
Then that's what I think the difference is when you're being competitive as a Christian, is you're going to compete hard. Mm-hmm. But at the same time,
you're humble in your winnings.
Yes.
Right.
Being humble. And that's mm-hmm. the key. If you can be humble
right.
when you lose, because right. there are some people that cannot be humble. When you lose.
That's true.
I've been in situations where even in high school where we lost a game in championship games and went into locker rooms and they completely destroyed the locker room because of anger. That happens. You know, we just get lost in emotions. But that's where being a Christian comes along, where we have to control our emotions.
Right.
And as a coach, we got to be in control.
Right.
Sometimes as a coach, you got to bring out that competitive spirit. But when do you keep it in control?
That's what I'm going to ask you. So even though since this is the whole topic thing, do you find it more challenging in the setting that you're in to balance that? I'm a believer and I know that I'm supposed to carry myself a certain way and I can't get caught up in the fleshly side of it. Do you ever find yourself battling?
It's challenging.
And trying to,
because in some cases, sometimes, I have to say in some new generations, sometimes you want kids to be more violent in the action that they're doing.
Are you using the right word? You keep saying violent.
Yeah, we actually use the word violent.
Are you serious?
We want violent strikes. Yeah, when you hit something, we want a violence.
Oh my gosh. You
got to play with violence. You got to play with it. I heard somebody even say this. It's funny. His kids grew up in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
But guess where he took his kids to go play football?
Hmm.
To the inner city.
Oh,
he took his kids from Orange County. He took his kids from Orange County down to LA into the streets of Watts and into the.
So do they literally play harder?
Because they got to play with tougher kids.
Right.
So it's the same thing when I helped them start a program in the high desert. I told them, you know what? If you want your kids to be better, you better take them to play the kids down the hill.
Right.
The parents was like, no, we're not taking our kids down there. I said, well, you got an option. You're going to be these soft kids up here, or you're going to go down there and play against tougher kids. Eventually, they say that's what we're going to do. And the program is probably one of the top mm-hmm. programs up in the high desert right now. But, you got to be compete. Football, violent. There's violence in football. There's violence in boxing. When you want to compete at the top level, you want to play against those people who are at top level.
So do you think there's ever a sense of, I want to say, especially in boxing, because and I speak boxing because boxing is real. I mean, it's brutal. It's to the point where, like football, you're not, I don't think you're always constantly, I'm going to take them out and I'm going to break bones and I'm going to do that. I'm going to, I'm going to knock them out.
In some places, in some, some coaches do teach that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But what I'm saying with boxing, it's an, I mean, it's clear that you're going for that knockout. Yes. That's what you want. You don't want just an injury. You don't want just a broken nose. You want this knockout. Mm-hmm. And so do you ever think though, in those instances where a person is really like battered and brutal, as a believer in that sport, that field, they feel remorse afterwards?
No, because it's competition. It's a game. So there is no remorse. You won, but you're still humble. There's a difference. There's no remorse because you, if you start feeling remorse, the next time you go in the ring, you're going to hold back. If you start feeling remorse, where you be, it's like one of our games where this kid runs down there last year, runs down there on the kickoff, and we kick the ball off, and he runs down there, and this kid's coming, and he hits this kid really hard. And he literally, the kid broke his arm. It was really, really bad. Mm-hmm. They had to call the ambulance on the football, and we had to sit and wait and all this stuff. Did the kid have remorse? Nope. He said, I want to go in there and do it again. So you can't.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a game of competition. You cannot have that during, you can't have remorse when you come to competition, because then that will make you soft.
Mm.
So you want that same thing. You want violence, but you want to be under control violence. You want to be under control. I'm not like trying to go in there and fuss you out and scare you with my words and all this stuff, but I want to be physical, that type of violence. So that when a person comes at you, hey, no, I don't want none of that.
Right. So
yeah, it's violence, but you can be a Christian and still playing with that violent attitude, because God gives us that competitiveness in our bodies, in our spirit, so that we can go out and win. And it's just the same, like we use that scenario as there's a battle going on in the midst of heaven.
Right.
There's a battle going on. Although it's a spiritual battle, we still need to, that's why God gives us the armor, the armor of God, because we have to move forth in the battle.
Right. With force.
With force.
With force.
We are going to take, we're going to take a kingdom.
Yeah.
This is God's kingdom, but there's other kingdoms out there. I talked about that on Sunday. There's other kingdoms out there. Which kingdom do you choose?
Yeah.
I choose God's kingdom, and I need to take God's kingdom by force, by spiritual force.
Right.
It's not by physical force, but by spiritual force. So that's where all this competition and all these battles come from. David, if you know the story of David, you're looking deeper into reading different histories of David. He was trained. if you ever watch The Chosen, they talk about Peter, Simon Peter. He was a fighter. He was trained to be a fighter. So they were those, some of the people that were the zealots, they were warriors. They were fighters for the cause. And they were trained in competitive fighting. And so they knew how to fight. They knew how to do all these things. And that's what, like some of these sports that come out of that's where these some of these sports come from those old biblical times, like you asked about the Roman in the medieval times,
like the gladiators and all that,
and all that stuff
that's
what it all comes from.
And I know there was no remorse there, because it was just it was a battle of the fit, I guess, just battle of the fittest, guess. Is that appropriate to say in that manner?
It was a battle of the fittest, and it's just like it's like God says, I'm sending you into battle. That's probably the only time he really had, because that was his chosen people who wanted to get to his land, where he had the chosen people who, or generations that they had to win the battle. God said, I'm going to, I already win the battle for you. See, sometimes in our lives, God, there's battles, but God says, if we go before, if you let me go before you, you don't really have to fight.
Right. Yeah.
So
It was like, I guess, because we're coming to the end here, so I guess it would be like when David.
What, when he came back and they told all his family?
No.
What, when he?
When he slung.
David and Goliath, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, when he beat the giant?
Because Daniel kept in my mind, I'm like, no that's David. The lion's den. And I'm like, I know what I'm supposed to be saying.
You're talking about David.
David and Goliath. Well,
David and Goliath, he goes down to beat giant.
With a slingshot and a stone.
He believed, he had faith. And one of our models with our what our football crowd, our football program is faith. You gotta believe, have faith, and that's where be fearless comes from, is being violent. You gotta be fearless. Don't fear nobody. Right, don't fear it. Because as soon as you have fear, you start to doubt yourself.
Yeah.
So have faith, faith in who God made you, faith in what you've done to get to this level, even to make it, even to make the team to move on to the next level. And
now, just real quick, are you able to ever speak to your players in that capacity of what you just said right there?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah. So, sometimes me and faith, as long as I don't mention scripture. As long as I don't say, you go to John 3:16, you go. But I do use, I don't use scripture references, but I do use verses.
Oh, got you. Okay. Yes. All right. That is cool. That is
because
cool.
It's a public school. It's not a private school. Or Christian school. So yeah. I do use scripture. I just don't use scripture references.
Got it. So. Got it. That is cool. And for your end, for your coaching staff, well, I know it's changed. It's kind of changed this year
because
you got a lot more new coaches and so forth. But at one point you guys were rocking with quite a few believers on there and kind of pouring into, you know, these athletes, these upcoming athletes. So it's not too often you get that like in a public. Well, let me not say, cause I don't know. I'm not out there.
My first year I coached with other two older gentlemen that since retired, and one was already a pastor. The other one was he was Mormon, but he still had a real faith and believing in myself and who's in ministry. So we literally would walk the field, we pray, we do all these different things.
And
I would talk to the kids, and those kids who were in church, I couldn't push or lead it. But if the kid lead it, then it was okay to join
prayer and so, all that. That's cool.
I would talk to him, and then I would encourage him. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, coach, I would, sure.
So
those type of things, yeah. And then the one thing I only did teach him was that God can't take a side. Lord, bring us out in victory. Lord, we want victory. Thank you. But so I never prayed, God help us. God, we want God to be. But
God, you like us better than them jackrabbits across town. I know you do.
Lord, I just left that school. Don't say that. I just left that school. But it's good.
That's funny.
So I teach them that God gave us this ability. Mm-hmm. So when they do pray, I did teach them to pray that let us. Show what God give us the ability to play to the ability that we've been.
Very so nice.
That's the way they start praying. Not, you know, let me go out there and destroy it. But let us play up to our ability and physicality that we have learned, and it's a good thing.
Nice.
Yeah. So again, you can be a Christian and be in a violent sport.
But I think that's an encouraging word, especially for parents that are raising their kids up in sports and also in the church. Like, is there a difference? And I don't even know if parents have even thought about that on that level, or even, you know what I mean?
I think we need more parents to raise their kids in a Christian sports attitude, because there are some parents that raise their kids that are not in a Christian sports attitude. And I do hear it. Because there are kids that come out there and they are not humble, and they will literally curse and go super crazy and it out of control crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you get out of control crazy, then you get the referees. It can be out of control.
Yeah.
And it start causing fights and things like that, where that's not where we want to go.
Yeah.
So you can be violent, but at the same time be in control.
Gotcha.
And we don't allow our kids to be cussing and stuff out there, because at the program we have now, we don't allow that. Literally, if I hear somebody far away, they can start doing push-ups and stuff like that.
We hold them accountable because
there's a future
that
they have to be accountable to. Mm-hmm. It's also about growing up and not being on the, they're not going to be on the football field their whole rest of their life.
That's true. So. That is very true. Well, they are lucky to have you, coach. And thank you for that wisdom, those little nuggets of wisdom you just dropped on us about athleticism.
I'm gonna leave it at that.
And our faith. Yeah. Yes. guys, that's all we have for you right now. We got some great things that are coming up that we're going to probably talk a little bit about in our end of season episode that's going to be coming up real soon. And so until next time, you know how we do it. Bye. Well, that is all we have for you today. Thank you for spending time with us. Please feel free to share your thoughts, comments, and suggestions. You can do that in a number of ways. By way of Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and of course our email, godspot316@gmail.com. We do this for you, so naturally we want to hear from you. We would like to give a big thank you to our hosting platform, Anchor and Spotify. Our intro and our outro music is provided to us by T. Miller. His album is titled T. Miller on the Beat, and the track is called Too Smooth. You can listen to him on Spotify as well. So until next time, we say bye.